Monday. Open wide dev fans.
Get ready
to stuff your face with JavaScript, CSS, node modules, barbecue tips, Git workflows, breakdancing, soft skills, web development. The hastiest, the craziest, the tastiest web development treats. Coming in hot, here is Wes, Barracuda, Boss, and Scott, El Toro Loco, Tolinsky.
Welcome to Syntax in this Monday Hasty Treat. We're going to be talking about that SSR. And I'm not talking about super sweet raspberries. I'm talking about server-side rendering here. This episode is sponsored by Sentry. Now, Sentry is the amazing way that you can track and log and keep track of and just really solve any of those bugs, errors, and exceptions that you have inside of your code, whether it is in React or JavaScript or Ruby or Python or anything. You can keep track of it with Sentry. You're going to want to head over to Sentry at sentry.io. Use the coupon code TASTYTREAT, all lowercase, all one word. You're going to get 2 months for free off that sweet error and exception handling service. Now, let me tell you, if you run any sort of software that is public facing and people are using, you're going to want to make sure you have some way to catalog and categorize those bugs. Because let me tell you, there will be bugs, and you will need to find a way to fix them. Now, I know that Sentry is also hiring. Do you want to talk a little bit about that, Wes?
Yeah, Sentry is hiring. Sentry.io/careers. They just got a bunch of funding, so they are hiring like crazy. Check it out.
Check it out. Okay, so this episode comes from a question that we received, I would say, a good amount of time ago. This one's been sitting in our docket for a little bit. And the question is, hey, Wes and Scott, I'm a huge fan of Syntax. Thank you. And thanks for inspiring and educating everyone in the latest JS trends. My question is on server-side rendering. Can you discuss what exactly SSR is and when to use it? How can a client library like React be rendered on the server? Are there any gotchas to know before implementing this? Yes, there are. If everything renders on the server, how are my XHR requests handled? I also read that there is an additional step for somebody using Redux. Both Next.js and Gatsby are server-side rendering. If SSR is my go-to option, are there any React frameworks that do not perform SSR? Thanks in advance. And this question comes from Chai, as they say to call them. They have Chaitanya as the name. They said just to call them Chai because they knew we would butcher it, which I most likely did. So we're largely going to be talking about server-side rendering from the perspective of a React situation and not maybe a, let's say, WordPress situation. I have a joke in here that back in my day, it was just called rendering because... So many times in the past, you never even thought about server-side rendering up until the point where we had what? We had client-side frameworks like React, Angular, Backbone, and all of those that came across where we would build applications on the client side. Okay, so before we get too deep into it, let me introduce my co-host, as always, is Wes Boss.
Hey, I think it's probably important to sort of like say like what is server side rendering and like how does it work before the time, and how it worked traditionally is that you would gather all of your data and you would gather all everything that you need and you render out some HTML and then send that to the client. Now the way that it works with React applications, etc., is that you send usually like an empty HTML file with just a blank div in it, and then the JavaScript loads on that page, picks it up, and then starts rendering the app. That's what's called client rendered, right? So today we're hopefully going to talk about like how do you run that JavaScript client renderer on the server, and maybe like do you want to talk like why would you want to server side render a JavaScript application?
Yeah. These are all lots of good things, and we're going to also be talking about some of the gotchas, some of the frameworks, some of those things. So let's get started with the very first part, which is why SSR at all. If you see CSR, again, that is client-side rendering. So you often see people say client-side, or you might see it as CSR. Now, the big thing, the reasons why you might want to use SSR is because, well, for endless amounts of time before this, the web crawlers, particularly those of which that work to catalog and categorize to do things like Google, right? The Google type of crawlers, the ones for search engines, they're not going to be able to render the client version of your application. Now, I should say there is other solutions to that other than server-side rendering. But to keep it simple, basically, one of these spiders is going to come crawling along your site to come crawl it, and they're going to see a blank HTML page. And that's not really necessarily the best thing for the Google juice. You're not going to rank super high with a blank HTML page. So largely, that's been the biggest driver to want to do server-side rendering, is that it gives you good SEO.
Yeah, there's some stats over Google does crawl and render just client rendered
now,
applications, yeah. But the stats are poor.
Yeah.
And honestly, if it was my website and if it was my business, I wouldn't trust the fact that they say, yeah, we do crawl it, because at the end of the day, it doesn't look like it's as good. Hopefully that changes and that will sort of cross off one reason why you have to do server-side rendering, but right now you have to do it for SEO, at least in my mind. The other one is speed. So the whole round trip works is that you load some HTML and then you load some JavaScript, and that JavaScript will go and render the page out, and then maybe that needs to go and fetch some resources from your backend, and then that will come back, and that can be a bit slow because you've got a couple back and forth to the server before your page is even rendered out. With server-side rendering, you can do all of that on the server, oftentimes ahead of time, which is what Gatsby will do, or what a Next.js preloaded link will do. Mm-hmm. It will do all of that on the server and then just render out a big string of HTML, send that to the browser, much like it has been since the dawn of time. And then you can pick it up. That's called a rehydration.
Yep.
You can pick it up from there and then turn it into a client-side application.
Yeah, rehydration is one of those things that's really come about ever since we've had client-side frameworks that could be server-side rendered. And so rehydration is a newer problem, and one of which will give you a fair bit of gotchas here. If the thing it's trying to hydrate isn't necessarily the same structure, might give you some guff there. But there's also, like you mentioned, the whole preloading aspect of things. You could do a pre-render. I think, what's the one, the .io one? Is it pre-render.io? There's like services in the past that would take your client-side framework and just basically crawl them as a, not like a Google spider would do, but they would crawl them as like a user would do, save that HTML, and then allow you to ship that to be a faster load. I haven't used those myself. I don't know if you have any experience there.
No, I don't either. The other one that we have here is just like page meta. So if think of Facebook, descriptions, Facebook images, Twitter profile,
yeah,
things like that. All of the stuff around shopping. If you want to provide Google with information about stock and prices, and I don't know, if it's a video, metadata around that, all of those meta tags, they generally need to be server rendered so that those web crawlers can crawl that page and pull that data out of the head. If that data happens in like a React helmet or something like that, I highly doubt that will actually work as well as similar to SEO.
Yeah, I think largely you can think of about it is like if a robot needs to view your page content, then maybe that's a use case for SEO, or not for SSR. And there's too many darn acronyms in here. So if a robot or somebody that's not a person is crawling your site and trying to get some data out of it, whether or not that is like one of those Facebook links or something like that, that is a big use case. So let's talk about some React platforms. There's platforms for all sorts of libraries that do server-side rendering. This person is asking about, they say, how can a library like React be rendered on the server? And they go on to mention things like Next.js and Gatsby. Now, we briefly mentioned some of these. Now, Next.js can do server-side rendering on build time or in a preloaded way, right? But it's primarily, you could think of it as on runtime, right? You hit the server. Am I thinking about that correctly? I'm not a Next.js expert here.
Yeah, it's done on runtime. So when somebody makes a request, Next.js is a server. It's a node app that runs, right? And when that request happens, Next.js will intercept that request or take that request and then attempt to server render your React application and fetch all that data that it needs. We'll talk about that in just a second. Send the HTML out to the browser.
Yep. And that's largely why you often hear us recommend Next.js for times when you need a more dynamic-based site, where you have something like Gatsby, which is rendering your application on the server on build time, aka you run a build command, and at that given point, it spits out a bunch of HTML and JavaScript, right? And so therefore, if you have frequently updated data or things like that, where maybe authenticated behind user data that you want to be server-side rendered, then maybe Gatsby isn't the right one. But if you have like very static content or I mean, you can use things like Apollo with Gatsby. But if you have more like a brochure type sites, then Gatsby is going to be awesome for that stuff because it just generates it once. And that's a faster return. You're not having to wait for the server to generate those on demand. Those files are already built and already ready. And that HTML just goes whoop right over to the client. There's also basically a billion other ways you can do server-side rendering with React with any sort of build tool. That said, it's not a ton of fun. As somebody who I have my own server-side application via Meteor. Now, granted, Meteor does a pretty good job actually picking up a lot of the hard stuff for you, but you can do server-side rendered React applications with Webpack or Parcel or any of these build tools. You just have to know what you're doing. And it's not exactly the most fun, which is typically why if you're looking to do SSR with React, you would pick up a static site generator or Next.js to do it for you. Because again, that's going to solve a lot of the big heavy lifting problems you might face.
Let's move into some gotchas. So server-side rendering, it's not as easy as it often people will say on Twitter, like just use Next.js. And then it's like super easy. It's not all that easy because there are a whole bunch of gotchas. So the first one here is that there's no window, right? Because all of this stuff is being rendered, it's being rendered in Node.js, not in the browser JavaScript. So you don't have access to the window, right? And that's why I always tell people don't use like window.setTimeout and things like that. Just use setTimeout because then you're going to run into issues with server-side rendering.
Yeah. And let me tell you, if there is a gotcha in SSR and React, I have hit it. Because you will hit them all when you're just starting with this and you're, you know, largely trying to use some things. Another one is if you've ever used use layout effect, which is one of the new React hooks, right? Use layout effect waits for the DOM to finish loading and therefore doesn't make sense within a server-side context, right? So unfortunately, use layout effect throws a big fat error when you try to do it. And that's something I have only learned recently, to be honest. I just threw a use layout effect in my application a couple weeks ago, and I saw this error pop up and I was like, huh, this is a funny bug that I haven't really thought too much about. So what I did is I created I didn't create this from scratch. I got this code from somewhere else. I'll make sure I include it in the show notes here. This is a use isometric layout effect, which basically checks to see if window is defined. And if window is defined, then it will use layout effect in your code. And if window is not defined, it will use just a standard use effect. And so that really just solves those problems. And it really just prevents some errors. This error is one of those ones that will pop up the moment you do any Jest testing, because, you know, your Jest tests are going to run via Node. And that's going to hit that bug right away. So if you use layout effect, this is one of those ones that's going to hit you.
The next one I want to talk about is data fetching is hard. So the idea with Next.js is that you have pages. And at a page level, so the very highest level you can get in Next.js, except for the app and the document pages, that's where you have to define where the data that needs to be fetched and awaited before it. Because the thing about all of your data fetching is it's asynchronous, right? And if you have a component 11 levels deep that is fetching data, how does your page know about that is the big question. And you don't really want to have to fetch your data at a page level, because that should be done at a component level, right? Because right. If that's the component that needs the data. So if that's the case, then you have to like write some sort of crawler that will crawl down every single component and find any requests. And specifically with Apollo, there's a couple out there that will like search for them and bring those requests or bring the promises at least up to a page level and wait upon it. So it's still very hard to do that. And suspense, which is coming to React, it kind of is in React already, but the suspense for data loading is going to change how we do data loading, and it will change all of our fetching to resources. And then the higher level page level will be able to tell when any of its children have resources that are not ready yet. And you can also like tell the browser, just like wait 3 seconds and try to load as much data as you can in 3 seconds. And then after that, be like, well, the car's leaving, we're going. And then you ship it to the
grab as many toys as you can. There was like an old game show on TV where you could grab as many Nintendo cartridges from the shelf as you could.
Really?
And I was just like, I wish I was on that as a kid. I would have like made my life. So the way you do it in Apollo right now is with the, Apollo just shuffled everything around into being like the different packages. They like changed all the package names. So you now do it through the package in the @Apollo, namespace. /React-SSR is the package. And there's a function in there called render to string with data that does exactly what you were talking about, where you give it your provider, you give it your application, and then you just say, hey, render string to data, and you wait for it. And then it gives you your whole application with the data after the data is all complete. That said, I had the worst time getting this up and running with React Loadable, which does code splitting. So like I had a thing where I could get SSR and code splitting working, or I could get data and SSR working, or I could get code splitting and data. I couldn't get all three of them. It was like a triangle of pick two of these, but I eventually got it all working with the help of some awesome, awesome people. And it was like not a ton of fun. Luckily the Meteor community has written some really excellent packages to make it super easy. But if I was doing this with Webpack, I'm pretty sure I would have thrown my computer out the window because of just how obnoxious some of this stuff can be. But it is, you have to, it's not the most fun. You got to wait for that data. And that is actually much more difficult than it sounds until like people like awesome libraries like Apollo have given you those tools to do so. Another one is we mentioned that Window is not available, but you have to think in addition to Window, what other stuff is only on the client side that you use all the time? Because there's a lot of stuff, right?
A fetch too.
Fetch. Yeah. I use something called isomorphic fetch.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I polyfill with use isomorphic or with just isomorphic fetch. I believe that's the package. But yes, there's so many of these things, right, that we think about all the time as being browser folk. I'm a browser folk. And like, I think about the browser.
I like that.
Yeah. So local storage, that's one of those big ones, right? So for instance, my authentication, anything in my auth only works with local storage because that's where my tokens are set. And I'm actually rewriting that right now to be in cookies to make that whole process just a little bit easier on myself. But because of that, I cannot send authenticated requests via server-side rendering. Therefore, any of my user pages are not server-side rendered. And so therefore, that is just something I've been living with, but it's one of those things that, you know, I'm fixing it right now, but I haven't always had, you know, the time to fix it. So no, I'm excited that I'm going to be able to actually get in there and fix it. Because again, I'm using Meteor's auth system, which is sort of like, you know, under lock and key, not totally, but like, I'm not thinking about it. It's just there and it does its own thing. So hopefully now I'll be able to find the time to really dive in and swap that out with a more custom login system. But again, just think about all those things that are not available in the server. And if you're not thinking about them, you will after you start SSR, because your code's just going to break anytime. It's just going to break on the server. So let's talk about tools. What kind of tools do you use for this thing?
With Next.js, I use this package from Lewis, who works on my platform as well. He made it for my course, and now it's become sort of a go-to for working Next and Apollo together. It's a high-order component for doing the thing I just talked about, walking the tree. It's called Next with Apollo, so that makes it a lot easier. We don't have to worry about at what level are you fetching your data. And there's this, you have this no SSR JS here?
Yeah, yeah. It's funny, Aaron Oda from Next, who works on Next, he used to be big in the Meteor scene back when he was around. He did a ton of the amazing, like the most amazing Meteor packages before he moved to Next. And he created this thing for Meteor, which was just basically a no SSR component. Now, granted, it's been several years since he created that and people have changed it up quite a bit. I've pasted one in the show notes here that's actually from the Material UI. Material UI ships their own version of this package. And this one's hook-based, where Aeronauta's was component wheel mount-based. So this one's probably the one you should use. But what this does is basically a component, or could be a higher order component that you just wrap, or an actual just normal component that you'd wrap around anything that you don't want to load via SSR. Now, I've used this a couple times, and sometimes it's really handy when you're using like a third-party library that you don't have access to change, or maybe you just want to get like a shell of the SSR up and running. Like maybe you just want like the main layout and then the internals of it. You'll say, okay, well, we can client-side render the internals, right? So this no SSR, you can just wrap anything that you don't want to fire via SSR, and it's just works. It's great. All that does is basically check to see if Windows defined, and if so, yeah. So it's yada, 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 it works. So use a component like this if you're having troubles getting up and running. That was like a strategy I had for taking an app that was primarily client-side rendered and turning it into a server-side rendered app, was to say, okay, I'm going to wrap the entire app in this no SSR component. And then I'm going to slowly, slowly pyramid down the app and the component tree so that, you know, okay, now the header is server-side rendered. Okay, it all breaks. Let me fix the header. All right, now the footer. Okay, now until I get to the main body content, and then fix all those bugs that way. That way you can do it sort of step by step, day by day, a little step by step, and get that going. Did you watch TGIF?
No, what's that?
Oh man, there was a show called Think.
Step by step, day by day.
Yeah.
I thought that was Full House for some reason. No.
No, that's Step by Step, man.
Okay. Yeah, I definitely watched that when I was a kid.
Yeah.
This no SSR, that makes me, I was thinking about that. I was like, it kind of sucks that it's like another component that you have to wrap in. Like, wouldn't it be cool if you could do it like a directive?
Yeah. And you could use this as a higher order component. I mean, you could do that too.
Oh, can you use it via hook, did you say?
I don't know about hook. I don't know. This is basically like a component that just says, hey, can you use state? Or can you render server side?
Oh, yeah.
Is this a server? If it is, you know, pass through. If it's not is this the client? Then pass through. If it's not the server, then just throw out a span or something.
Oh, yeah. You could do this with a hook as well.
Yeah, you could probably do with anything.
Yeah, it's just checking if Windows undefined or not.
Oh, yeah. You could write this code. The only thing about having a component reusable like this is just that it's super easy to just bounce in there anywhere you want to use it.
Yeah. The gotcha is that you can't check if there's a variable called window. You have to do type of window is not equal to undefined, a string of undefined, which is annoying to have to type that every single time. That's why these little packages are worth it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't even recommend installing this as a package. I would recommend just copying and pasting this, throwing it in your code. That's how I do it.
Beautiful. I think that's good. Hopefully you learned a little thing or two about server-side rendering and how it works. It certainly has gotten a lot easier in the past, but I can't wait for Suspense to come because I think it's going to make a lot of this really, really easy, and you don't have to really think about it after a while.
Yeah, I think we're going to have a next episode. And before the React people that say, oh, Suspense, I mean, we're talking about Suspense with data fetching and all that. We're talking about the whole shebang, like server-side render, all that stuff. So
yeah,
once that stuff's available to us, we should make another episode about it. It'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's episode 127 if you want to learn more about what is to come with React Suspense. That was a good episode. It has a lot of listens.
Word.
Cool. All right. That's it for me. Anything else from you?
Nothing.
All right. Peace.
Peace. Head on over to syntax.fm for a full archive of all of our shows. And don't forget to subscribe in your podcast player or drop a review if you like this show.